Blog Talk Radio.
Go! Go for it! Go! Go for it! Hello, everybody, and welcome to Go For It for the next hour. Of course, I'm your host, Paul Gannon. For the next hour, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your opinions, your ideas, and your beliefs. And, of course, you're going to get a heavy dose of my beliefs. The number to call if you want to give your opinion is 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And, again, you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com. Click on the on-air button at the top of the page and look for the show Go For It under the category of sports. And you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's goforit.gant@gmail.com. Well, Memorial Day weekend. I know some of you are on vacation. Some of you are on the beach. Some of you are having some barbecues. Some of you are having a good time. But I hope during those barbecues and that time on the beach, maybe on the beach you have your iPhone, maybe at that barbecue you have your iPhone, and you're listening to me talk some good old sports. Well, everybody, last night, Eastern Conference Finals, Game 6, Celtics and Magic. Well, everybody, I guess I was wrong. What can I say? I'm only human, right? Yeah, I was wrong. I thought that Orlando, I thought they would be the team to be able to be the first to come back from 3-0. I thought with having the home court advantage, they would have an opportunity. Again, I thought they would steal something in Boston, steal another game in Boston. But I didn't think, I thought they would, but obviously they didn't. And sit back and let's give Boston a lot of credit. I mean, they played some great basketball in this series, and they've been playing some great basketball in these playoffs. I mean, I said it earlier in the week, going into the playoffs, you just didn't expect Boston to put it all together the way they have. You didn't see it coming. You really didn't see that coming. I mean, who saw that? I mean, you figured, okay, Kevin Garnett looks a little slow. He didn't look like the same player. Pierce didn't look like the same player. I mean, the team as a whole did not look like that same team that won the NBA title back in 2008. It just wasn't there. It didn't seem that way. But, hey, once the playoffs came, these Warriors, the Garnetts of the world, the Rondos and the Ray Allens and the Paul Pierce, these Warriors, they laced them up, man, and they came to battle, and they fought, and they beat two very good teams, two very good basketball teams. I mean, the two teams with the best records in the NBA. I mean, they went through. If this is how, then to me, I mean, as a champion, this is what champions do. They go through the best. They went through the best. I mean, they went through the Cleveland Cavaliers, who won 60-plus games. They went through the Orlando Magic, who had the second-best record in the league. They went through the two best teams in basketball, and they beat them. Without having a home court advantage, they beat them. They beat them on their home court. So these two teams, man, they battled, they balled, and they made it happen. I mean, Boston won twice in Cleveland. They won twice in Orlando. So these two teams, Boston, they did it, man. And as Doc Rivers pointed out last night, this starting lineup of Pierce, of Allen, of Garnett, of Rondo, and of Perkins have not lost a playoff series. They haven't lost a playoff series. Now everybody says, oh, well, they lost last year, but guess what? Kevin Garnett wasn't around. So this group has not lost a playoff series. And judging by the way things are going and the way they're playing, I don't see it happening. I don't see them losing the playoff series, man. This team, they just, everything is coming together. You got your quarterback and Rajon Rondo, who's elevated his game big time in these playoffs. I mean, playoffs is where legends are made, and right now Rondo is making a big name for himself in these playoffs. He's balling. He's balling. And give him a lot of credit. And, of course, Doc Rivers pointed something else out in these playoffs. He said that at some point, at some time, Nate Robinson will win a playoff game for them. And by golly, Nate the Great did. Nate came in there in that second quarter, big stretch in that second quarter, opened the lead up for Boston. That was after Rondo had went down with that injury. He fell hard on his hip, it looked like it was a hip injury. But they came back, they brought in Nate Robinson, and Nate Robinson came in and he balled. He balled 12 points in that key stretch in the second quarter. He came in, brought some energy in for Boston, both on the defensive side and offensive side of basketball. I mean, he came in and he did his thing. And this is, a guy like Nate Robinson, he can score points in bunches. I mean, that's what he does. I mean, he had a 40-point explosion against the Hawks earlier in the season. So this is what this guy does. This is what Nate Robinson does. I mean, he was the guy that they brought in for Eddie House, where they got rid of Eddie House. And Nate, like Eddie House, can shoot the three, but Nate has a little bit more explosion and is a guy who can score the basketball better than Eddie House and do a little bit more things than Eddie House. And give Boston a lot of credit, man. They brought in Nate, and Nate came up big. And I thought back to Orlando, I thought Jameer Nelson would step up a little more in this game six. He really stepped up in game five and game four. And he didn't step up in game six. It looked like Boston made some adjustments on Jameer. Seemed like they were kind of trapping that pick and roll a little better. They weren't allowing Jameer to turn the corner on them, and they in essence really shut Jameer down, and he was held to 12 points, I believe. And so they held him down, and he wasn't really a factor in this game, but he was a factor in those previous two games. But he wasn't the same guy in this game for the Orlando Magic, and subsequently Orlando bows out in these playoffs, and it's a little surprising. I mean, Orlando had won 8 games in a row coming into this series, and we're on a roll. We're playing some good basketball, granted against two teams that they have very favorable matchups against, the Atlanta Hawks and the Charlotte Bobcats. But I expect them to win the series and ultimately win the title. But it won't happen this year because you still got that big three, those big guys of Garnett, those big guy of Ray Allen, that big guy of Paul Pearson, maybe a big four in Rajon Rondo. Also, Rashard Lewis. He was pretty much a no-show in this series. Was abysmal from behind the three-point arc for the Orlando Magic. He didn't play well at all. He finished up the series 4 for 23 from behind three-point range. So he didn't shoot the basketball very well. He didn't shoot the basketball at all, actually. Shot the ball horribly for Orlando and was small. And then that was the difference this year. I mean, last year, Rashard Lewis had a great series against the Celtics. This year, Rashard Lewis came up small. And that may be one of the reasons that Orlando is on that flight and on that way back to Orlando. And, I mean, you got some nice golf courses out there, and they probably will enjoy them. And another person was Vince Carter, who could have played a little better, didn't have one of his better series. I mean, you would have expected Vince to play a little better, but Vince, he just seems like he lost a little something and just was not the guy for Orlando this year. And I guess he really didn't truly replace Hito Turkoglu like some of us had thought. The numbers to call if you want to talk about this series, that past series, is 646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And again, you can listen to this show at blogtalkradio.com. Click on the on-air button at the top of the page and look for the show Go Forward under the category of sports. And again, you can send email messages to the show at goforward.gant@gmail.com. That's goforward.gant@gmail.com. Today, I wanted to talk about there's a show on VH1. It's called Basketball Wives, and it chronicles the life of seven young ladies, some who are wives, some who were ex-wives, and some who were girlfriends and or fiancés. And I mean, it's an interesting show. I mean, it's caught my interest, piqued my interest. Got into the show late, been watching, and some of the girls who were on there are. You got one girl who was the wife of a former Celtics star, Eric Williams. You got another woman who was the ex-fiance of Antoine Walker. You got another woman who was the ex-girlfriend of Michael Olawa Candy. You also got another woman who was I believe she was a girlfriend of seen her on the show. I don't know if she's a part of the cast, but seen her on the show. She was a girlfriend of Russell Butler. And I know you're saying, who? Who's Russell Butler? But another woman who was the former wife of Ricky Davis. And you have Shawnee O'Neal, who's now the wife of Shaq, but soon to be ex-wife of Shaquille O'Neal. And the show chronicles, again, the lives of these women, some of the battles and the challenges that these women go through as being basketball wives. And it's an interesting show, man. And the way I look at it, you have Matt Barnes. Matt Barnes' fiance is on there. Matt Barnes, who plays for the Orlando Magic. If I'm a guy like Matt Barnes, I'm not sure if I want my wife on that show. She's his fiance right now, but I guess at some point they will be married. But I wouldn't want my wife on that show for a lot of reasons. It's a show that in a lot of ways talks about some of the behind-the-scenes things that these wives go through and some of the hard times that these wives go through. Hey, don't get me wrong. I mean, the show, I think, tries to make you maybe have a little sympathy for these people. But quite frankly, if you want sympathy, you're not coming. Don't come here. Don't come to this show because you're not getting it, quite frankly. If that's what you want, you know what you're getting into when you're marrying some of these guys. Whether it's good, bad, happy, or sad, you know what you're getting into. I mean, you're going to have a nice life. I mean, you're probably going to have a nice car, nice house, nice clothes, all the stuff that you always wanted and you ever wanted in life, you're probably going to have. But you probably won't have your husband home much. You may not have him with only you. You may be sharing him with others. And, you know, I mean, it's just a way of life. It's just the reality of that lifestyle and the reality of that life. And in a lot of ways, it's what you choose to do when you marry one of these guys. You know these guys are on the road. You know these guys have lots of temptation. You know these guys have a lot of things coming at them. And, you know, a lot of these guys don't resist or don't turn away what comes at them. And so... I mean, it's just the nature of the situation. You also have one of the girls, she was a former dancer for the Miami Heat and also for the Orlando Magic. She apparently was the girlfriend of Dwight Howard and Dwight Howard's baby mama, so to speak. So, I mean, it is kind of surprising. I mean, a lot of us wouldn't expect Dwight Howard to have a baby mama. He's one of those, he's one of the good guys in the league, and one of the guys who came into the league and was had promoted a very wholesome image going into this league, and also I was reading, according to reports, that she cannot talk about certain aspects of their relationship per some type of agreement that they allegedly have or have it. So, I mean, it's very interesting. I mean, it's a good show. But the question I have for you out here is, would you want your wife or fiance or girlfriend on that show? Would you want her on that show? Because I mean, Matt Barnes was quoted in a radio interview talking about the show, and he was saying that he doesn't like the show. He hates the show, actually. He really doesn't want his wife. He's 100% against the show, and he really at some point he said he felt good about the show initially, but then as he watched the show and seen the show, he was against it. He doesn't like it, and he said he will not be mentioned. He won't be watching the show. So it's an interesting show, man. And but my question to you is, would you want your baby mama, your ex-girlfriend or your girlfriend, would you want her to be on your show, spilling all your spilling all the beans, taking their shovel and throwing dirt all around on your name? Would you want that? You wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want that if I was one of these athletes. Look, man, I mean, again, I said it before, I don't have any sympathy for you girls who get involved with these guys. I don't have any sympathy for you. I mean, you know what you're getting yourself into. You know, the individual is I mean, doesn't mean he's going to do it, but the chances of him not doing it are not that great. I mean, more than likely, you know, he's probably going to do some things out there on that road. And I'm not saying I don't condone what some of these guys do, but by golly, I don't know if I blame them. I mean, it's a tough situation, man, and I can't judge them because it's tough, man. It's tough for them to be faithful out there with all these temptations and all these things coming at them. It's got to be very, 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 very tough. And so tell me what you think about this show, Basketball Wives, on VH1. Tell me if you've been watching it. Tell me your thoughts on some of the girls, some of the things going on. If you were one of these athletes, would you want your girl on there? Would you want her on there? So just tell me what you think. The number is to call 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And again, you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com. Click on the on-air button at the top of the page and look for the show Go For It under the category of sports. And you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's goforit.gant@gmail.com. Also, this past week, there was talk of a free agency summit, according to reports from ESPN.com and the Chicago Tribune. Apparently, Dwayne Wade was talking about him and LeBron James and Chris Bosh and Joe Johnson sitting down and talking about what they're going to do during this free agency period, where they're going to go. And you wonder if a guy like Dirk Nowitzki, who recently opted out of his contract, or a guy like Amari Stoudemire, who has the opportunity to opt out of his contract, you wonder if he'll be invited to this summit, this free agency summit, I guess it's being called. I mean, we'll see what happens, but very interesting situation, very interesting story. And, I mean, Dwayne Wade was quoted as saying from that Chicago Tribune story, a lot of decisions will be based on what other players are willing to do and what other guys want to do. So it's not just a me situation here. We have to look out and see what each other is thinking. So I guess does it come down to they make pacts here? Do they say, okay, LeBron, you and Chris Bosh go here. Joe, you go help Dwayne out in Miami, and you take care of that situation. I mean, is that the way it's going to play out? I mean, how's this going to be? I mean, everybody's going to come to the table, and everybody's going to have, you know, their own agendas, their own opinions, their own situations in a lot of ways. So you wonder how and what is going to happen. So, I mean, Dwayne Wade was also talking about loyalty and referring to the Bulls. He was talking about how, you know, a lot of times he was quoted as saying, I think the biggest question that you think about has to be loyalty. I know one thing about Miami. It's a very loyal organization. I see what they do with their players, and when their players get done with the game of basketball, how loyal they are. I don't know about the Bulls. And he goes on to say, I see Michael Jordan is not there. I see Scottie Pippen's not there. You know, these guys are not apart. Things like that. So this is probably one of the biggest things for me because I am a very loyal person. That was the words of Dwayne Wade from that Chicago Tribune article. Dwayne Wade, and just like in the public sector and everybody else going over, there's really no loyalty in corporate America. There's no loyalty anywhere for that matter. So, I mean, Miami is probably only going to be loyal to as long as you can play. So, I mean, ultimately it comes down to doing what you feel is best for you. And that probably means in terms of money, and that may mean in terms of winning, going to a winning situation. I mean, it could mean all those things. I mean, I know LeBron has said that on numerous occasions that he wants winning is the most important thing for him. So, with that being said, you want to see what happens with that and LeBron. If I was advising LeBron, for example, I think if I'm LeBron, I stick in Cleveland. I think you carve out a nice legacy for yourself in Cleveland. I think ultimately you can win championships in Cleveland. You have an owner in Cleveland who has proven and is willing to spend the money for you. So with that being said, he's going to bring in whoever he can bring in terms of salary cap and all that. He's going to do whatever he can do to make you happy in terms of bringing in players to support your situation. Now, I mean, you can go to Chicago, but there's no guarantee there. I mean, Derrick Rose is a star, and you do have Noah. You got Luol Deng. I mean, Taj Gibson. You got some talent there, but I mean, it has been proven in Cleveland that you can win 60 games. You can win 60 games. So it's been proven here in Cleveland that you can win 60 games with the team and how the team is presently constructed. So you have a guarantee that you will at least be there on some level in terms of a contender, being a contender. Now, if you go to a Chicago or if you go to Jersey or New York or anywhere else, there's no guarantee that you will be able to win and be a winner. There's no guarantees there, LeBron. If you want to win championships and you want to go down as a winner, you need to stay in Cleveland. And there's really no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And then I was hearing, listening, this is a few weeks back, actually, I was listening to Darren Revelle, a business guy, I think he's on CNBC. He was talking about how the big thing, it's not necessarily New York in terms of publicity, is China. And he was talking about China, interestingly enough. And he was saying now how people in China love guys who win championships. And he was talking about how big Kobe was over there. And he was saying, man, that was a byproduct of Kobe being a winner and a champion. And so LeBron, okay, you'll go to New York, and, I mean, the Knicks are, apparently there's three teams who are able to sign two big-time max free agent guys, and those are the Knicks, the Nets, and the Clippers. So, okay, LeBron, if you take Chris Bosh with you to New York, does that mean you're winning a championship? I mean, does that mean you're winning a championship? I mean, you got Gallinari, you got Wilson Chandler there. I mean, but you really don't have much else in New York. So, is that what you're looking to do, LeBron? Because even if you do hook up with Chris Bosh, it doesn't mean that will be the thing that will get you a championship. LeBron, again, you have proven, and your team in Cleveland has proven, that on back-to-back seasons, they can win 60 games and be championship contenders the way the team is presently constructed. Now, at some point, I think, maybe a move here or a move there, you can get over the top, but you're not far off in Cleveland. If you're going into another situation, there's no guarantee that the situation that you go to will be a good one and will be a situation where you will be able to win tomorrow, basically. So, LeBron, again, stay home. Stay in Cleveland. Just stay home. Don't do anything stupid. Don't try to go to New York and think you can win there. Don't go to Chicago. I mean, you have an opportunity with Chicago, a better opportunity with Chicago. But ultimately, LeBron, I think you need to stay home, man. Stay in Cleveland. Become a legend in Cleveland. Win a championship in Cleveland for those championship-starved fans. I mean, do those things, man. And if you want at some point I mean, I understand, LeBron, your situation, man. You've been in Ohio mostly your whole life. And maybe you do want to branch out. But you can make the most money in Cleveland. That's where the most money is, in Cleveland. So if you can make $30 million more in Cleveland than anywhere else. $30 million. Now, if you can recoup that other way, in other ways, then so be it. That's fine. But you can make the most money in Cleveland, and you have a team that's already constructed around you. So, if I was you, Bron, I would stay home, man, and stay in Cleveland, and try to build up that situation. So let me get your thoughts on this free agency deal, this free agency summit, if you will. The numbers to call. We're talking free agency. We're talking about the free agency summit deal. We're talking about Basketball Wives. Wanted to get your thoughts on that, and we wanted to get your thoughts also on that Celtics Magic series that just went by, and just the Celtics, if you missed it, won last night and clinched the series and have made the NBA Finals for the second time in 3 years. The numbers to call, 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And again, you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com. Click on the on-air button at the top of the page and look for the show Go For It under the category of sports. And you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gan@gmail.com. That's goforit.gan@gmail.com. Also, you have there was a situation in Seattle, switching gears to the NFL. Lindell White, apparently he was waived by the Seattle Seattle. I was about to say Seattle Supersonics. Waved by the Seattle Seahawks this past, actually yesterday. And he has a four-game suspension pending, apparently, for violating the league's substance abuse policy. We don't know what that may be. We don't know whether it's, again, whether it's illegal street drugs or whether it's performance-enhancing drugs. We don't know. We don't know what it is, but he was looking forward to a good opportunity for him. He was being reunited with college coach and Pete Carroll. And now, just like that, it's over. Seattle released him, went to a different direction. And you hope whatever it is that Lindell White is dealing with, you hope that the guy can get it back going, get back on another NFL roster. And, you feel bad for the guy. If whatever it is, you do feel bad for the guy. Apparently, he showed up in tip-top shape for the Seattle Sonics. Sonics again. Why am I saying Sonics? Let's try this again. Seattle Seahawks. Apparently, he was down to 228, and then he felt like he was in one of the best shapes of his life, as they all like to say from time to time. I'm in the best shape of my life. If I had a dollar or a dime for every time I've heard that, I'd be a rich, rich, rich man. But anyway, he will be suspended, apparently, for four games. And again, you hope the guy gets it back on track. Whether you like the guy, hate the guy, whatever, whether he's on your favorite team or not, you hope the guy gets back on track. And also, switching back to the NBA, Game 6 tonight, Suns, Lakers. Lakers up 3-2 after a dramatic buzzer beater by Ronnie Artest. Ron got it done for the Lakers. Big putback off the Kobe Bryant air ball. And so the Lakers are up 3-2 and headed back to Phoenix, where they haven't played the greatest of basketball there. Haven't played too well in Phoenix. Phoenix, they're playing some good basketball, man. You can't count them out. I mean, you heard the chants last night, beat L.A., by the Boston faithful. But Boston, you might have to say beat Phoenix, or scorched the Suns. I mean, you may have to be saying one of those chants. You may have to say one of those chants, because I think Phoenix will win tonight. Now, judging by the history that I have, I don't know if you want to go with that, but I do think Phoenix will win tonight. Phoenix has played a great series, man, and they're playing tough. I mean, they came back from an 18-point deficit in Game 5, and they played ball. They balled, man, and Stevie Nash has played well now. He had in Game 5, he had 29 points and 11 dimes, and they came back from being down by 18 points in the third quarter. They came back and they put themselves in position to win that basketball game. But give the Lakers a lot of credit. Give Ron Artest a lot of credit, a guy who hasn't had a great series and actually was late to practice the next day. Give him a lot of credit, because he persevered and got through a bad shooting night to basically be the hero of the game and the hero for the Lakers. Nice follow by Artest, and just give him a lot of credit for fighting through, man. And he made the big play for the Los Angeles Lakers. Now tonight, I mean, again, Phoenix has defended their home court and has played well on their home court, and they shot well on their home court. And so you expect them to come out tonight and shoot very well, like they always have and they always do. And for them, you expect them to get it done tonight. And I expect Phoenix to win tonight. And I expect them to send this to Game 7. But I don't expect them to win the series. By no means do I expect them to win this series. So you have the Suns, and you have the Suns tonight. Lakers game 6. Again, the winner will face the Boston Celtics, who dispatched the Orlando Magic in 6 games last night at the Boston TD Garden. And so whoever wins tonight, if the Lakers win tonight, they get to head to, well, actually Boston will have to head to LA to get the final started, which will start next Thursday. So we'll see what happens there. The numbers to call, 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And again, you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com. Click on the On Air button at the top of the page and look for the show. Go for it under the category of sports. And you can listen and send email messages to the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's goforit.gant@gmail.com. We have an email message here. We have Tom from Boston. Tom writes, "You know, Paul, how could you have ever thought that the Orlando Magic, or anybody for that matter, could come back from a 3-0 series deficit? Boston was obviously the better team, and Boston was obviously a team that was going to win this series, especially after being up 3-0. Quite frankly, Paul, I don't think you know anything about basketball." Well, Tom, I thank you for that message. And again, continue to email the show. And you guys can continue to email the show at goforward.gant@gmail.com. That's goforward.gant@gmail.com. Well, Tom, you know, and looking at it, I thought that maybe the Orlando Magic could make history. But I guess it wasn't their time. And maybe somebody else will have an opportunity to make history at some point in the NBA. We're joined now by our usual co-host, Jeremy Espy. Jeremy?
Hey, Paul. Hey, Paul, how are you?
Doing well. Yourself?
Hanging in there. Just got my kid out of the pool early so I can call in and congratulate you on your prognosticating. Looks like you did it again.
Well, Brittany, just like Brittany, oops, I did it again.
One of the things I want to get your opinion on, is this Orlando Magic team, should they stay together? I mean, or do they want to look at adding, you know, a solid four to really go with, what is, without question, somewhat of an undersized team?
Well, I think Orlando in a lot of ways, just like Cleveland in a lot of ways, I don't think they prepared or saw the Boston Celtics coming, if that makes sense. I think in terms of size, I think with Dwight Howard, they're good there. I mean, Rashard Lewis is 6'10". Granted, he's more of a soft four, but he's 6'10". And you have a guy like Dwight Howard who I think patrols the paint very well and controls the middle very well. I heard Jeff Van Gundy actually say at the end of the telecast that he believes Orlando needs a two-guard. An athletic two guard. I would agree with that. I think they do need. I thought at some point they did replace Hedo Turkoglu, but Vince Carter really came up small in these Eastern Conference Finals. Matt Barnes was solid on the defensive end, and he played well. He played Pierce pretty well in this series, but again, they just didn't have that guy, that other guy. I mean, Jameer Nelson played well. And then about 3 games in the series, but last night he came up small, and he was big. He's big to their attack, and he didn't play well in yesterday. But he had a fairly decent series. But I think they can bring this team back. Hey, a few pieces here or there, and then they'll be right back. But I don't think anybody expected Boston to be what Boston was in these playoffs. I know I didn't. I don't know if you did, but I didn't expect the Big Three to be big again. And I thought the days of them being big were over.
No, I mean, I think that we were both in agreement. I think where we differed was in the middle, I thought of the, by the third game at least, of the Cleveland series, I thought for me it was quite apparent that Boston, you know, they're going to make this one last run, and how far it takes them, you know, at this point, you know, it does seem that all, you know, cylinders are firing, you know, one and one unit, but I couldn't agree more. I think this is a veteran team. It's somewhat of an aberration. I hate to say that because Boston certainly has played their opponent well and upplayed every opponent, but I do agree that, you know, I think none of the teams really anticipated, and I think if you look at it, really the catalyst for the Celtics has been Ray Allen. He's had a tremendous playoffs and a tremendous second half of the season. I kind of differ with you. I think Orlando really should take a look at, you know, adding either a solid four or a solid two. I think they need to very much complement Dwight Howard, and it definitely is not going to be with Vince Carter.
Well, I think Vince is on the other side of things now at this stage of his career. He obviously doesn't have the same type of lift. He doesn't have the same type of game that he once had, and it was apparent in these playoffs and apparent in this series. But, I mean, the reality of it was they couldn't afford to re-sign Vito Turkoglu. And it came down to them having to find somebody who could replace him. And Vince Carter was that guy. And in that trade, they did give up a decent two-guard at Courtney Lee. And so, I mean, I said it again, I don't think anybody expected this out of Boston. They didn't expect this final run out of Boston. And when you looked at the beginning of the year, you saw Boston was there, but you saw that, okay, you had Orlando, you had Cleveland, and then you had Boston there third. But you didn't, give Boston a lot of credit, man. I said it earlier in the show, and I'll say it again. They went through the two best teams in the NBA. Without having home court advantage, they went to those two teams and they beat them, and they soundly beat them, and they beat them. You can't say it was luck here or there. They came out and they beat these two teams. I couldn't agree more,
and I think the Lakers really better. You know, again, I think
let's not be so quick to move the Lakers along. I think they will win the series, but hey, I mean. Don't discount this Phoenix team.
Well, I'm going to discount them. I think the problem with Phoenix, unfortunately, is that they don't have the roster that the Lakers have, and they're going to fight, you know, and it's going to be a hard-fought series, but I'm sure the Lakers will advance. But at the end of the line, too, when you look at this Lakers team and you see a team like Phoenix that gave them a lot of problems, and then you look at a more veteran version, if you will, of Phoenix, and that is the Boston Celtics, and that's why I look at the finals. If you move one step ahead, I mean, I think this could be, you know, Boston's year, and it's a shame because I do agree with you. I think Orlando and or Cleveland, really, this was their championship, and I think not being prepared, it's going to probably bite them all season.
Well, yeah, and you figure, I mean, last year, if you look at the playoffs, I mean, Boston took Orlando to seven games without Kevin Garnett. And I talked about this earlier in the show, but Doc Rivers pointed out, and this is very true, this starting five of Rondo, Perkins, Garnett, Allen, and Pierce has not lost a playoff series. They haven't lost a playoff series together. So, with that being said, I mean, it's not a surprise what's going on here. I mean, we may all be surprised, but if you really sit down there and look at it, if Boston is healthy, on paper, they may be the best team in the East, on paper. If they're healthy.
No, absolutely.
a healthy Ray Allen, a healthy Kevin Garnett, a healthy Paul Pierce, and then you add in Rondo, who's had a great playoff. And you have a team, man, that's very formidable. And so we'll see what happens in the – you wonder if this is the final year of this run, though, for Boston. I mean, can
right.
can this big three still be big? Because
well, I think I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think for the for Boston when it comes to the Lakers, or even the Suns, where they're going to now, I think we saw the injuries with Rasheed and then now Perkins and his one technical and Glenn Davis and Rondo's banged up again. That's going to be key for them. Are those four or five players, how much or how little are they going to get? I mean, the obvious key is Rondo. If he's injured, they can write this off. And Perkins,
okay,
if Perkins...
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, Perkins, it was interesting listening to the post game and some of the reading some of the articles and some of the commentary. And I kind of agree. Perkins is a guy that runs his mouth all game, and I watched him even last night. These officials seem to be gunning for him, and another stupid technical or another stupid foul where they can kind of one-up him, and they're going to lose Perkins for a game. And if they lose Perkins for a game against the Lakers, you can
well,
that game will.
And in terms of Perk, I mean, Perk does talk a lot, and he, for his talent level, he talks a little too much for me personally. And Perkins is what Perkins is. I mean, you do want Perkins in there against the Lakers if they do play the Lakers because of the size that they have in Bynum and Odom and Gasol. But you hope Perkins can keep his temper. But you talked about Rasheed Wallace and Big Baby Davis, those guys being a little dinged up and whatnot. I mean, now you have some time off if you're the Celtics to get those guys healthy, to get Sheed's back right, and to get Davis's head clear, Big Baby Davis's head clear. So you have time now, and all Rondo, you got time also to get that hip right. So you got rest now for your team, and hopefully, if you're a Celtics fan, that these guys will get the rest necessary to be effective in the upcoming series.
Certainly. I mean, I think if you're the Celtics, and they said they're already going to cancel 2 days of practice, and that's where they really want to focus on. I'm very interested, at least, to see what's going to come of Rondo. It seemed like his hip back was certainly bothering him. Because I think he'll be one of the bigger keys with regards to matching up and trying to silence Derek Fisher. But I think the Lakers and the Celtics will probably prove to be a more interesting final than most people think. I think this Celtics team...
It's going to be good.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good finals. But I still want to see LeBron and Kobe at some point.
Well... I mean, I think if you're going to see them, you'll see them in the next couple of years, especially now with the consortium of free agents that appear to be making a pretty interesting move. I wanted to certainly get your thoughts on.
We talked about the free agent summit, I guess, as it's being called by some. Everybody, I don't know how something like that can really truly happen. Everybody has agendas. I mean, these guys can make the most money if they stay where they're at. And, everybody has agendas. I mean, what's LeBron going to come and look? I mean, do you have a thing where you have Dwayne Wade and LeBron James having a tug of war with Chris Bosh? Somebody takes Dwayne Wade, takes Bosh's arm and LeBron takes the other arm, and they're pulling back and forth. Come with me. No, come with me.
One of the questions I have for you, though, Paul, because you seem to always be the guy who's talking about, more of this is a business and the money, and we talked about some of the constraints with younger athletes and your perspective being that they should, be allowed in because that's their skill and that's their livelihood. And, I mean, I'd like to know from you, do you see an ability for these four guys to sit down at a table, and obviously two of them are going to get a big paycheck, and the other two are going to wind up having to take lesser money. If they do decide to kind of both or pair up or even three of them go on the same team, there's not enough money for all of them to go around if they all went to four different teams. So, I mean, if you're LeBron James or you're D-Wade or you're Joe Jackson, I mean, do you say I'm going to take $20 million less to get in, three championships?
If you're LeBron James, and I talked about it on the show, if you're LeBron James, the only you're telling me, you've told others that your only objective is to win. Okay, so with that being said, LeBron, the only guarantee in terms of winning, and it's proven that in the last two seasons you have won 60 games there, that's in Cleveland. There's no guarantee other places. I mean, you have the Knicks, the Nets, and the Clippers are the only three teams that can afford two max contracts. So there are only two teams that can bring in a LeBron and Chris Bosh, or a D. Wade and a Chris Bosh, or so on and so forth. So if you're the Knicks and you pick up LeBron and Chris Bosh, does that automatically say you win a championship? No. Does that make you a contender? Maybe. Maybe, because then you still have to fill out the rest of that roster. And judging by what I see on the Knicks, I don't see much there on that roster. So, I mean, the Nets are a little more interesting because you do have that third pick. You do have some talent in Lopez. You got Brooke Lopez, Terrence Williams. You have Devin Harris also in the mix. So you have some guys in the mix, and if you put a LeBron and a Chris Bosh there, actually, they're saying they may have to. Well, you couple that with the number three draft pick, and you may have something there. But again, to me, the only true guaranteed place for you to still be a contender and you just still have an opportunity, a guaranteed opportunity to win a championship, is in Cleveland.
Yeah,
that ownership, which is willing to spend the necessary money to get things done.
I mean, I certainly. I think if you're LeBron, you're being really short-sighted, especially right now, leave Cleveland. I mean, there are a couple teams. If you look at, and they've talked about him maybe going to the Clippers. If you look at him maybe going to the Clippers, you can see because they're a big. I think if he goes to New York or New Jersey, I mean, I think for him, it would probably be a shame for his career because New York isn't putting a winner there for 3 to 5 years because of the moves that they've made, and they have to surround him with that kind of talent, then they have to gel, and the same in New Jersey. The only way it will work...
Jersey, I think Jersey is a little bit more interesting. You also have to take into account the new ownership that is in Jersey and the possible move to Brooklyn. I mean, and also the Jay-Z factor,
Come on. Jay-Z, there's no factor with Jay-Z except they'll have good music in the breaks. I mean, the bottom line is they have no talent. They have money to spend, Paul, but they have no talent. And
you have some young talent there in Jersey, but
I'm
not saying if I'm LeBron James, that's where I go. I'm saying if you're LeBron James, you go to Cleveland. You stay in Cleveland. I think it's your best move. And I think it's the best situation for you. But, I mean, you have to also take something into account about LeBron James. He's pretty much been in Ohio essentially his whole life. Now, at this point, do you say, okay, I'm 25 years old now, and I want something different? I mean, do you make a change for change's sake, or do you stick it out and stay in Cleveland where, again, you're already have proven, it's already been proven, that you can win at least 60 games and you can be a championship contender. Not necessarily you're not necessarily winning the title, but you've proven that you're going to be there. So, I mean, and it could be up to you whether they take that next step if you're Cleveland.
Yeah.
LeBron James, it may be up to him to take them to that next level.
Certainly. I mean, I think Chicago's – probably if he's trying to move and he wants to win, but they have big problems if he goes there. They don't have a big man. And, I mean, he's not going to win a championship without a big man.
I don't – well, Well, I don't think he's going to win a championship anywhere other than if he's going, other than taking a chance of staying in Cleveland. I don't think I can't say for sure, okay, LeBron James has officially joined the Chicago Bulls. Now, I mean, I guess you can call them contenders, but I mean, I guess you would almost have to call them contenders, but do you honestly think they would necessarily be, do you think they would win a championship? And I'd have to say, at this point, probably not.
But yeah.
I can't say if he stays in Cleveland, he does have a very, very legitimate chance to win a title, at least the regular season title, as he's proven and as has been done in the last 2 years.
I mean, I think all the free agents, other than Bosch, I mean, if I'm Bosch, maybe I follow one of them, but I kind of agree with you. It's certainly not.
If I'm Bosch, I follow one of them as well. Which one? Or, I mean, it all depends. But I think I would follow one of them.
Yeah, and if I'm Bosch, believe it or not, I'm following Dwayne Wade. The reason why is because in Cleveland, they can't get him in Cleveland. So if you're Bosch, you do want to go to Miami, and then Miami really is complete now.
Yeah.
I mean, I looked at it and I said,
I'm chasing a check.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if he's going to chase the check, all of them need to stay put. If they're, and I don't disagree with you. To me, I think there's so much speculation about going elsewhere, but none of them, when they go elsewhere, with the exception of D. Wade, because he already has a championship, if they really want to win, does it make sense? For Dwayne Wade, if I was him and I wanted, but again, he can get the most money in Miami, so does it really, if he wants the money, he stays because you can get, that exception. So, and he has his championship, which to me is the smart money move, because none of the other teams that are out there that can afford these guys are putting a winner on the court for 3 years.
Chase the check. I'm chasing the check.
Well, I'm gonna be interested to see what comes from this. I think it's the banter we saw this week was I thought it was pretty funny to see these guys, like you said.
I thought it was more comical than anything.
Yeah, age of the Twitter and the Facebook, where these guys just now, I think they just say stuff to hear themselves talk and put themselves on SportsCenter and keep themselves relevant in an otherwise non-relevant period, because they're not in the playoffs and no one's talking about them. So put this out there on the Twitter or on your Facebook page has become kind of the new norm. Everybody now can put themselves on SportsCenter whenever they want.
It's all instant news, basically. I mean, like you said, the Twitters and the all these Facebooks and all these other means of communication now.
I mean, it's interesting when you see the way the playoffs were really grabbing hold of the news, and this comes out, and when you look at what you read between the lines, like you said, I mean, it's kind of going to be silly if they're at wherever they're going to be, and Wade and LeBron are going to sit there and fight over Chris Bosh like he's a girl. I mean, it's comical.
It's crazy. I mean, you're right.
They have better things to do. You and I think soon we're certainly going to. I at least want to definitely talk a lot more about what Bo said in Kansas City about the NFL players. And I look at, instead of sitting down and having dinner, I'm going to do what some of those players in Kansas City are doing. I'm going to get some flights ready, man.
Well, yeah, and then it's time to, I guess, time to import.
Flights are cheap now, Paul. If you think about it, flights are cheap. Southwest is flying in and out everywhere for $59 both ways. I mean, I look at that, and I'm thinking to myself, to hell with Chris Bosh. You have plenty to look at now.
Well, I mean, and again, this is, you see what, we'll see what happens. And then maybe in a future show we can get more involved in the Basketball Wives and talk about that show on VH1. I know I brought it up earlier, but we can talk about it more in a future show. And
because at this point, you know, because that's it. We have a couple seconds left, and I'm getting right on Southwest now. You know, ding.
Well, good luck, and hopefully you'll find what you're looking for. But anyway, we want to thank everybody for coming in and joining the show, listening to the show, continue to support the show. For Jeremy Yespe, I'm Paul Gant. Bye.